Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Harvest Bible Church. I'm Leticia.
My name is Cameron.
And we have a few announcements for you this morning. Ladies, Miss Linda's Ladies Bible Study starts this Thursday at 9 a.m. Yes, I know, exciting. I heard the hand clap. They will be studying heaven, and she'll be using Randy Elkhorn's book, Heaven, which is an amazing book, and she'll be using that as a resource, of course, along with the Bible. So it's a great Bible study. That will be this Thursday at 9 a.m. Also, ladies, our girls' brunch is this Saturday. Yes, we're excited. We're going to have pumpkin French toast and all the good fall flavors. It's going to be exciting, but most importantly, we're going to have Miss Liz Hutton speaking. So it's going to be a great weekend, great Saturday, great morning. God's going to be present. We're all going to be together. So I really encourage you to attend, invite your lady friends, neighbors, anybody. It's going to be an awesome morning. So that will be Saturday at 10 a.m.
Right. And with Liz Hutton sharing at our Ladies Bible Study, you might have guessed it, but Dr. Larry Hutton will be ministering the word to us next Sunday as well. A Harvest Bible Church legend. You all know him. So he'll be joining us next Sunday, and he'll be ministering the word to us. So we're looking forward to that. And something to mark your calendars for on September 25th. Those of you who remember and you went last year, we're having an outdoor movie night where we partner with the preschool, HPCC. So it's a great opportunity to invite friends, invite coworkers, neighbors. And we always watch a movie that has a gospel message. So it's a great outreach opportunity. And we usually are getting food trucks, and we just have a total blast in our beautiful backyard. Amen.
Amen.
So mark your calendar for that. It's going to be a Friday night. So we hope you'll join us for our outdoor movie night. What time is it? That is a great question
that
I know.
Scan the code.
See, we just want to make sure y'all were paying attention.
Yes.
That's why we didn't put it on there.
You guys passed. So now scan the code and you'll get your time.
Great question. Yes. It's going
to
be dark.
It's usually close to sunset. So it'd be around the 6:30, 7 o'clock hour.
No, don't say it. Greg works hard on these QR codes.
Well, Miss Angelica is giving me the okay, so she's part of the preschool too. Yeah.
So that's going to be it for the announcements on our end, but we'll invite Pastor Pam to share a little bit more.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. I want to let you know that this Sunday we are officially kicking off registration for the class Forgiven and Set Free. And in the back, as you exit the building or come into the building, there is a basket that has some 8.5 by 11 posters and also these little cards. So it says, are you carrying the weight of secret sorrow? It says, no matter what influences a woman to end a pregnancy, the side effects are real. And then there's a QR code and the advertisement for the Forgiven and Set Free class in the back. We have a heart for those who are suffering. And some of, you know, maybe some women don't have side effects, but for the ones who are having difficulties from a post-abortion, this class is for you. Statistically, I shared that 1 in 4 women in the church, not just our church, the church world in general, have had an abortion, and some multiple abortions. And so, you know, as long as the enemy has something in the darkness, that's where he likes to torment us and keep us festered with guilt, shame. It really affects your life. And if you've had an abortion, maybe you don't realize that it's affecting you. I mean, this class is phenomenal. There's actually going to be 2 classes available. And we have Karen Anderson. Karen, could you stand really quick? Karen is a gift. Her and her husband, Larry. Larry, you can stand too, just because you're her husband. So Karen has worked for the Directions Pregnancy Center, and she's taught this class many times. And the Lord just put on my heart, Tinker's heart, Janine's heart, and the Lord put us with Karen, and we are so excited to start this class. It starts October 1st. So your assignment, most of us know women that have had an abortion, and so I want you to take these cards, please. I got 850 of them, and you can take a stack, pass them around, put them places, posters, if you want to hang up the poster somewhere. We made posters for you to hang up in businesses, or maybe if you have a business, and let's get the word out, amen. And we're going to see God do a miracle work in these ladies' lives. And just so you know, men, we're not leaving you out. If you've been a part of an abortion as well, maybe you drove your girlfriend, or she had an abortion and you didn't want her to have an abortion, that there is a lot of grief for a man as well. And hopefully God's going to raise up a man who's going to be leading us the men's class as well. So, amen. You guys ready for the word? Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, you know, some have been asking when we're going to start Wednesday nights back up. Well, we're going to be starting it up actually the first week of October, because I have a lot of things going on in the month of September. We've had a lot of things happening going, but also Pastor Pamela and I, actually junior high, you guys can all bolt, take off, is that we have the opportunity to minister in a school, a Bible school, where one of Rick Fern's Bible schools, the one that we ministered in New Zealand and several others around the world, but they actually have a Bible school in the state of Washington that they've asked us to come to minister there, and so that's a 10-day thing, and right in the middle of September, so it kind of messes things up. So we're going to start October 7th is going to be the first Wednesday night service that we bring back, and it's going to be just a little bit different because it's going to start on some things, but that first class is going to be a class, and it's going to be a class because it's going to be just like she talked about, hurting folks. And you guys know my life, my story. I've got a lot of stories, but I've got a lot of things that I went through, and one of them is this whole class is toward, because I have a sermon called After the Hit. And of course, that's the title of everything, but the class is going to come, but it's really, that's a subtitle. It's, what do you do when bad things happen? What do you do when grief, and what do you do when trauma? You know, also, since I am, you know, certified in critical incident stress management, which is kind of great. That's the natural side of things. I'm not going to psychoanalyze you. Praise the Lord. I am not a psychiatrist. Hallelujah. I'm a chaplain and I'm a pastor. But I also, you know, train in different things. But there are things in the natural that we can learn and we can do, because, you know, grief is a very challenging thing. And so during this certain time, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do that. And I'm going to teach a class for 6 weeks on that, on how to get through things, how to walk through things. Amen? You know, I'm, you know, because of what I walked through with the death of my first wife there, everything, you know, anytime, you know, a minister in our circles, their wife dies, they call me, and I get to walk them through it, and I get to walk them through how to deal with things, and everybody goes through things differently, and everybody walks through things differently, you know, there's no cookie cutter thing. Isn't it amazing? I mean, you realize Jesus had 12 disciples, and he never treated either any one of them the same. He taught them the same word, he showed them the same example, but he treated them all differently. You know, good old Peter needed to be rebuked all the time. Amen. Thomas, he needed to be reassured all the time. He had to stick his finger in his side. He had to see, you know. So just because these people ain't getting it, you've got somebody around you that, golly, he's continually doubting and doubting. That's okay. God's going to show him. Amen. This is not my message this morning, but this is just something that you need to share with you, because listen, we deal with life. And as Christians, many times we try to just pass over things. We try to just gloss it, say, I'm tough, just suck it up, you'll be okay. Quit being a baby, you know. But you know what, if you don't deal with things, if you don't get things out in the open, if you keep things hidden, and you keep getting things that you're not working on, it gives the devil a foothold in your life. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins. Amen? That's why, you know, when it talks about the Bible, it also says, confess your faults, your slips, and everything else, so that you might be restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Yes. Amen? Yes. Because many times we're allowing things of the past to stop us from going into the future. And, I'm so thankful. It was a club that I didn't want to be part of, but I'm so glad that I'm the president. Okay? And because the wonderful thing about it is that you don't have to allow grief in any situation, no matter what transpires. You don't have to allow grief to win. Amen. Amen. The Bible says we sorrow, and we do. We have grief, we have sorrow, but we don't sorrow like them that have no hope. Amen? We've got to realize that. We don't sorrow like them that have no hope, you know. And thank God the Word is the greatest book and greatest thing in all the world that will set you free. Amen? Because you can be so hurt in your soulish realm, your mind, your will, and emotions, that it's robbing you from your spiritual strength. Amen? It really is. Because the only thing that can separate your soul and your spirit is the Word of God. The only thing. To know what is the difference between it. And the Bible declares that the Word of God is the only thing that's able to save your soul, which is the only thing to bring peace to your mind, to your will, and to all of these emotions that you get. Amen? Now, that's a great segue into what I'm going to share this morning. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all got solemn on that. You know, we all have sorrows. We all have hurts. We all have pains. But you know, aren't you glad that Jesus took our sorrows and carried our pains? Amen. That's what he said in Isaiah 53. He said that he did that. He carried those things. Hallelujah. He's the one that told us we can cast all of our cares over onto him. Because why? Because he cares for us. And you know, the problem is that many people don't want to let anybody know they have problems. Well, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to have any problems. You know what? Praise God. We're human. And there are situations, there are issues, there are things that take place in our lives. And it's not drudging up things, it's getting healed to make sure that it doesn't have. And really, you can one of the telltale signs of doing it, you can always remember. I always use this with the attitude of forgiveness. You can always remember how much forgiveness you have about something, because it ties to the emotion that you have when you remember the event. If every time you remember it, talk about it, it gets exciting. There's some things that you haven't got set free from yet. Yeah. Amen. Amen? I'm just being a pastor right now. Just sharing with you, though. Because why? God wants you healed and whole. He wants you to finish. Yes. And he wants you to finish strong. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I read in the Word of God that 75% of all the spiritual leaders and everybody we quote in the Bible and all the ones that we look up to didn't finish well. 75%, only 25% finished the right way. So there's hope for all of us. Thank God that even if we don't, God still, he's doing good. But on the other side of the coin, I want to be part of the 25 that finishes strong. I'm going to finish strong. Amen. Hallelujah. And God's given me a second chance, as you know, again. You know, because not only is this whole class about somebody who's died, but it's also about just different traumas, different things that take place that set us back. And we'll be sharing about it, give you an introduction and all that kind of stuff. But it'll be such a blessing for you. Amen? Hey, are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, Father. Father, let me speak as an oracle of God. Hallelujah. Just set on fire of the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost this morning. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Who is our teacher. He is our guide. He'll teach us and guide us into all truth. So thank you, Father, for each and every one that's here. Hallelujah. That we can begin to understand and know what your ways are, what your truths are, that can just set us free from ourselves and set us free from that which is holding us back. I honor you and love you. And I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. We're going to start there. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's an amazing thing. The Amplified Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Amen? You know, the New Living Translation says, let your spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Isn't it amazing that Jesus and the Apostle Paul talks about our attitudes? You know, because that's the spirit of. And that's another message. That's something. But really, just understanding to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, because our mind, hallelujah, needs to be renewed on the word of God. Amen? It has to be renewed on the word of God. He also goes on in verse 24, and he says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? He tells us that we've got to, not only do we got to renew the spirit of our mind, but then we got to put it on. See, because the word of God doesn't do any good just because you read it. Even though it's a blessing to read it, the Bible tells it to you, you're blessed if you do it. But the key, it doesn't affect your life unless you actually put it into action. You got to put it into action. You got to put it into action. Because here's a statement that the Lord just brought up to me. And I have a lot of little statements that God brings up to me and puts me in remembrance of things. But this statement kind of came back up, and it's one that I've shared before. But it says this: if you control your thoughts, you can control your faith. And if you can control your faith, you will control your destiny. And what that simply means, what does it mean to control your thoughts? It means that you got to bring every thought into captivity. Go with me, if you would, from here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you didn't bring your Bibles or whatever, hopefully they'll get it up there. They can get up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Verse 3, 4, and 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I got to start giving them my notes again. Hallelujah. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know where strongholds are at? Your strongholds are in your mind. Strongholds are in your mind. They're not around you. They're in your mind. It's your thoughts. It's the way your mindset is. It's what you're thinking. We limit ourselves, you know, to what we think is possible. We limit ourselves to what we think is impossible. And yet, you know, there's words that are always connected with God. God's the God of the impossible. Amen. Miracles is connected with God. The supernatural is connected with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Impossible is connected. Why? Because God can do the impossible. Amen. We see these things. But he goes on to say this in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, let's just stop right there. Wow. If you had to run every thought that you have, you got to run it through, you know, bring it into captivity to the word of God. You got to run it through. Okay, does this line up with the word of God? Do I really believe what I'm thinking? Y'all are quiet because I know you're all thinking like, oh my God, is he reading my mind, reading my thought? I got to get rid of that thought. I got to get rid of that thought. How is that possible to bring into captivity every thought? Because you got to think in line with the word of God. See, renewing our mind is simply saying, I'm going to do what God says to do. You know, when we by choosing the right thought, we lift our own life up. You know, the devil brings a thought, you're not going to make it. The devil brings a thought, you're not going to get healed. The devil brings the thought that, man, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And he rattles off this whole real picture right in front of you, this whole video or whatever you want to call. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh. But you've got to bring in the captivity. You've got to bring it. You've got to take control of your mind. The Bible says, you think on these things. Yes. Amen? Yes. You think. He says, casting out imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, or to obedience to the word. And look at what it says in verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, which simply means I'm ready for the next thought. Now, you're there in 2 Corinthians. Go back, to Philippians, if you would. And it says, man, what if I don't know my Bible? Well, then they're going to have it up here. Philippians, all right, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I minister by the word of God. I teach. I'm going to let the word of God fight the battles. Let the word of God penetrate your heart. Because one word from God can change your life forever. And I'm going to say it 100 different ways and 100 different times. Why? Because I want you to get it. I want you to realize that you can do this. Because, you know, I remember when I first caught a hold of this many, many years ago, and I was like, wow. And especially this verse right here. This is the verse I'm about to share with you that changed the course. And because I was thinking, how in the world am I going to keep captivity every time. My brain works way too fast. My thought process is I'm thinking a thousand thoughts at one time. It's crazy. It's just, you know, I'm just going. It's like, I can't do that. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this, you know? And so the Lord said, well, we better help him. We got to help me. So see, I'm simple. He's got to help me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. In fact, let's back up to verse 6. He said, first of all, be careful for nothing or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, people say, well, I love God, so it doesn't matter what I... You know what? God's always going, he says, I'm going to keep your heart and I'm going to keep your mind. Because he knew if he couldn't keep your mind, your heart's going to flounder. That's why he told us to renew our minds. He said, if you don't start thinking my thoughts... Because what Isaiah 55, you know, 8, 9, 10, and 11, you know. Isaiah 55, 8 says, hey, guess what? My ways are higher than your ways, says the Lord. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen? You know? And he says, and he begins to declare and decree and say, hey, here's where they go. But then he also goes on to say, he says, listen, as the snow comes down and as the rain falls from heaven and it doesn't return thither up to him, he said, what it does is it waters the earth and it makes it to grow and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Amen. And then in verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish in the thing whereunto I sent it, and it will prosper in there. Amen. So the word of God has a, he says, that's what's going to be. So here's the word of God. Look what it says here in verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He said, man, what that limits, that's going to limit my thinking. Absolutely. He cleared up my thinking. I was like, okay, because here's what he gave me. This is my little phrase. This is a wonderful phrase. If it doesn't bring life to me and praise unto God, it's not fit for my thought life. It's a cool phrase, huh? Awesome. I'm not that smart at all. So I, you know, I says, well, how do you know if God's talking? Listen, you get something that's smarter than you, you know it's God. You get something you think, man, that's good. It ain't you. It's God. Okay? That's easy. See, people are too big to receive from God because they think they're just as smart. So when God does say something, they think, man, look what I thought. It's awesome. Man, God's giving me revelation. Instead of receiving it as revelation, saying, whoa, that's too smart for me. That's awesome. That's a God thought. That's a Holy Ghost. Huh. Amen. If it doesn't bring life to you and praise unto God, then it's not fit for your mind. It's not fit for your thought life. Which simply means when you're thinking things and things are going, you say, wait a minute, is this bringing life to me and praise unto God? You got to get rid of it. You got to cast down imaginations. You got to get rid of it. I says, well, I wouldn't be able to work. Yeah, you work because that's you got to work. You do. God gives you wisdom on what you're doing. That's doing natural things. But over here, when God, you're thinking, you know, the enemy's always trying to come and get you to think bad things, or get you to think words of condemnation, words of guilt, get you to think words that, you know, in anger and all this other junk that goes on. But when you take it to the Word of God and you run it through the Word of God and you say, okay, well, that thought's not a good thought. That's not bringing life to me. Doesn't bring praise unto God. That's not faith. Amen. And don't beat yourself up. You just say, well, glory to God, I had a Thomas moment. And when you get all angry and get all upset, it's like, whew, man, I had a Peter moment. Then when you get all mad and you say, God, kill him. God, do this. You had a John and James moment. Lord, can we call down thunder and lightning and kill him? And Jesus said, whoa, time out. You don't even know what spirit you have. And then when you think too high of yourself and when you think this, you get a Nathaniel moment. Because he said, can any good come out of Nazareth? Who's this guy think he is? You can use those when somebody is doing those things. You say, hey, stop having a Peter moment. And it'll stop them in their tracks. And be like, what are you talking about? You're a little excited. You're about to stick your foot in your mouth. Some of you are laughing because you know those moments. All of us have had those moments. See, because when you choose the right thought, then you lift your life. You choose thoughts that are consistent with the Word of God. Why is that so important? Because he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We've got to take hold of the thought processes of God. See, because faith works by love. And here's the thing. If you're not walking in love, and if you're not allowing the thoughts and the insight and not walking in love to yourself, then what will happen is that you'll shipwreck your faith. Because if Jesus does come back real soon here, he is going to find faith on the earth, because he's going to find faith at Harvest Bible Church. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That he is. He is going to do that. Hallelujah. You know, and here's the thing too. You know, your behavior and your thought process is directly connected to what you're watching, seeing, and what you're thinking on. Yeah. Amen. 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 And, you know, it's not that we go around trying to correct people or anything, but it might be good to say, when you see people that look like they're just, see, listen, are those thoughts bringing life to you and praising to God? I just wanted to ask you, because if they're not, then guess what? They're the wrong thoughts. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how it's going to. Doesn't matter. That's the wrong thought. You're thinking about the problem. Amen? You know, isn't it amazing in Acts chapter 4? The good thing they don't have my notes. I had a systematic thing all night. But you know, in Acts chapter 4, you know, the Bible says, being let go, they went in verse 23, it says, being like, I know you guys all know your Bible, so I can just quote these scriptures and you'll be good. But Acts chapter 4, in verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own company. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. You know? Amen? And so the next verse says, and they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. And it's amazing, when they began to pray, they didn't start out with, God, look what's going on. Look what they did. This is what they're saying. No, no. They lifted up their voice and said, God, thou art God, the creator of heaven and earth, and all that in them is. Hallelujah. And you've made all these things. Hallelujah. And they get down to tell them the problem. They gave three words to the problem. Three words. Lord, behold their threatenings. And that's it. That's all I said. Most of us go to God and say, God, here's what's going on. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And by the time we get through praying, we're like, oh, God, it's a big deal. It might even be too big for you. No, it's like, hey. No, you got to magnify the bigness of your God. Because right after they said, behold their threatenings, they said, now, Lord, isn't that awesome? Behold their threatenings. Now, Lord, grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Hallelujah. And that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Amen. And you know, in Acts chapter 5, that prayer got answered. They're out there going to, and they brought all these sick people out there. And they said, man, we can't get to Peter, but if his shadow comes over us, we'll get healed. And his shadow went over him. We don't even see that in Jesus' ministry. We don't have anywhere collected in the Bible where it says Jesus' shadow healed anybody. But Peter's shadow went over and God used that. That's pretty cool. But the key is that they didn't pray the problem, they prayed the answer. Yes. Amen? Yes. And here's the thing too. It's very important for us to understand, you know, that our attitudes, our behavior, all the things is a direct result of what we put into our minds. So we've got to guard what we're watching, what we're hearing. Amen. We want the power, the presence of God, yet we feed ourselves with things that don't work. Amen. And believe it or not, renewing your mind is a continual process. Just because you renewed it once doesn't mean it's not renewed now. It means you've got to continually renew your mind, because renewing your mind is changing. Amen. I always thought, man, once I got something, oh, this is great. I got it. I'm got it. This is the key to everything. And then two or three days would go by and go, it wasn't the key to everything. You know what the key to everything is? Is the Word of God. Yeah. That's the key to everything. Hallelujah. That's the key to everything. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to go to James with me. Praise God. I don't even know where to tie in, but go to James with me, chapter 1. It's all right. God is good. He puts us together. And I never get too frustrated about those things. Say, Lord, you did it. Because it's really simple. If you learn to renew your mind, you're just simply learning how to do things God's way. And you're learning to believe that what God said about you is actually true. See, you know, Philemon, you know, or Philemon, whichever you want to say there. But Philemon, it says this, and it's only one chapter in Philemon. Verse 6 says, it says this, by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. It says this, that if you want to have the communication of your faith be effectual or to be powerful. What do they mean by the communication? It means that you want your faith to be powerful. So it says the communication of your faith to become effectual or powerful. And the way that you do that is by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, if I was to say, okay, I'm going to call any one of you up here and say, okay, I want you to tell me all the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. How long are you going to be able to talk? Amen. I might just do that. That got everybody nervous. I pick on the most spiritual person you think. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that because then you'll get mad and I get in trouble. But that's not. But it's a thought. It's a thought because if I want my faith to become powerful, then I need to know what good is in me because of the Lord Jesus Christ living in me. It's not you in the flesh. We're not talking about that. It's about who you are in Christ and what you have. Amen? Because the Bible declares here in James chapter 1, when it talks about verse 21 here, he said this. He said, wherefore lay apart all, and it says good old King James, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Isn't those really great big words? Awesome there. Which simply means lay apart all the filth and the sin and everything that's just wearing you down. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So I'm talking about your spirit. It's able to get you renewed. Save your soul. It's able to renew. It's able to renew your minds. It's able to restore you. It's able to heal you. It's able to protect you. Amen. It's able to guard your mind and heart. He tells us to do that. He tells us to guard. Why is that so important? Because we have an enemy arrayed against us, and there are so many voices in the world. There are so many things, so many, what's truth? What is this? And if you don't get the Word of God and filter everything through the Word of God, then you're going to be in worry. You're going to be in like, oh my gosh, look at this. Oh, it looks like this. Look how terrible it is. And you're going to be acknowledging what the world is saying. Amen. Because we have social media, because we have instantaneously, you know, you can see and know and all these different things that are going on, and we don't even know what's real and what's not with what's going on. But this is the only thing that's real, so you got to always bring it through the Word of God. And you've got the Spirit of God. You've got the Spirit of truth on the inside of you. Amen? So you know all things. You know the truth. Don't ever violate your conscience. Amen. If you're born again and Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you've got the Spirit of truth living and dwelling on the inside of you. Amen. He also says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Amen. Because he beholds himself, but he goes his way and straightway he forgets what he looks like, what manner of man he was. But verse 25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the Word of God, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Amen? Because you got to keep your eyes on the Word of God. You got to say, okay, what am I looking at? What am I seeing? Amen? Now go here, and we're going to close on this. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we didn't even get down half the pages on page one. That's okay. I never finish. I just kind of let you see what happens here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. You know, we are living in the last days, folks, okay? You need to know, we need to have faith in the last days. We need to have our minds renewed, and we need to be walking. We need to be making sure that we're listening to the Spirit of God on the inside of us in everything we do. And that way we do, we're rejoicing, because it means we can be at the right place at the right time for the right reason. Amen? But here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren," talking to us, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." He said, listen, don't be soon shaken in your mind or shaken or be troubled, neither by spirit, the attitudes of different things going on, nor by the word of anything you've heard, and nor by the letter of what you're reading. And he says, as from us, as that day of the Christ is at hand. And verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. How much deception is going on in our world today? Wow. Wow, I mean, it is so, I mean, the Bible says their minds will be blinded and they're going to believe a lie. That's why it says, you know, that that which is good is spoken of as evil and that which is evil is spoken of as good. We see that constantly. And their minds are blinded. They think, hey, no, this is really cool. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, talking about the coming of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And everybody has their ideas about what does that great falling away mean, you know, and all that stuff. Well, he's writing to brethren. He's writing to us. Means that there's going to be a lot of folks that say, well, that doesn't work. There's a lot of folks that are going to get discouraged. A lot of folks are going to get deceived. Amen? But thank God we don't have to be deceived, because we've got the Spirit of truth on the inside of us, and we've got the Word of God, and we're going to renew our minds. Amen? We're going to bring into captivity every thought to what the enemy's endeavoring to do. We're not going to be shaken in our mind, and we're not going to be troubled. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're just going to continue to do what God says. Why aren't we going to do that? Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. Hallelujah. You know, we're not walking around, I wonder about this, I wonder about that. Amen? We're not. We're walking in the truth, knowing, glory to God, these events have to take place. These are things that are going. Hallelujah. God's word is still God's word. God's word is still going forth. Hallelujah. We've put on the new man. We've put on that. Hallelujah. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind, and we have put on this new man. Hallelujah. That's renewed, hallelujah, in righteousness and holiness. Amen. We receive the things that God has. We're thinking on the right things. We're bringing our mind and bringing our thoughts into captivities to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. And we have to. Because remember what it said over there, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, and we have the mind of Christ. I mean, that just kind of goes, I have his thoughts. I have his precepts. I have his feelings. Why? Because that's what has been said and been done. Because Jesus said that. Jesus said this when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17. He said, Father, not only do I pray for these alone, but I pray for all those that are going to believe on them after this. Talking about he prayed for me and you. He said, Father, but my prayer is that they would be one as me and you are one, and that they would be one in us. Because I'm in you, they're in me, and we're in together. Amen. Hallelujah. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, it says, hey, think on these things. It tells us that set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Amen. Set your mind. Let's get it. And he says, why don't we have miraculous? Why aren't we having the supernatural? Why aren't we seeing more God doing miracles? Why aren't we seeing God do and perform more? It's because we're not thinking in the right direction. We've limited ourselves. We're looking around and there, and we're seeing all of the other obstacles instead of seeing His provision, instead of seeing His promises, instead of seeing what He said He wanted. Because God's desire, I guarantee you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God wants to move now more than He ever has. He wants to show the world how great He is more than anything, but He can't do it without us. He's not going to do it without us. He gave the church the authority. He gave the church. And so if we don't believe, if we're not seeing, if we're not asking, and if we're not, and if we don't break the limits of our minds off, hallelujah, then we're going to keep ourselves thinking small. Amen? We're going to keep ourselves thinking small. I mean, you know, God wants you to get set free of you. He wants you to bring into captivity every thought. And God's a God of the impossible. God's the God of miraculous. God's the God of the supernatural. Amen. I know we think of those words and say, yeah, yeah, I've heard all that stuff before. Well, the problem is you need to experience it. Amen. See, God sealed you. When you got born again, He sealed you with the Spirit of God on the inside of you, made you born again. Problem is that, you know, we haven't really understood that the greater one lives on the inside of us. And if God's going to speak to us, He's going to speak to us inside. Because that's where the kingdom of God is. Hallelujah. That's where God's going to speak. God can thunder His voice out here if He wants to. Most likely He doesn't. Hallelujah. But He loves to speak on the inside. He loves to tell you, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do this. Let's listen. And let's follow that. Amen? But we've got to get our minds renewed on the Word of God so that it can expand. You know what? God can. God can do that. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you ever seen angels in the outfield? You ever seen angels in the outfield? So what is that? That little guy, the little guy that says, it could happen. It could happen. Everybody's saying, never going to happen. It could happen. It could happen. You got to stop saying it's never going to happen. Start saying it could happen. It could happen. It could happen. And then you got to stop saying it could happen. You got to say it is going to happen. It is happening. And then it not is going to happen. It's happening. It's happening. It's right now. The kingdom of God has come right now. Amen. We can receive right now. See, we get this in the future. We get this in the past. But we got to get it in right now. It's happening right now. I'm receiving it right now. And we got to speak what the Word of God says. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor You. Lord, You have orchestrated this message this morning, Father. You've just taken us here, there, and everywhere. And thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Because You've given us what these folks need, and You've given us what I need. Thank You, Father, for putting me in remembrance, reminding me of Your grace and Your mercy and Your goodness. Oh, thank You, Father. I just honor You today, Lord. I do. And Father, I just trust that I've stirred up their hearts to guard their thoughts. I've stirred up their hearts, Father, to believe that You're ready, that they're not waiting on You, but You're waiting on them, because all things are possible to him who believes. And Father, we thank You that we believe. We trust You. Father, the greatest thing that we believe is that Jesus died on the cross for us, and that Jesus was buried, but that He was also raised from the dead. Thank You. We believe in the resurrection. And so we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. But Father, if there's people that are here or people that are watching, Jesus loves them so much. Your word declares that You love the world so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, as I pray for this congregation, and I pray that every person in here would be born again, but also, Father, I just pray that we'll be laborers sent forth into Your harvest. Hallelujah. That we'll go into Your harvest. Hallelujah. But if you're here this morning and you want to be born again, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're not excited about Jesus coming, then you probably need to get born again. You probably need to renew your faith and to know, and you know what? Hallelujah. He loves you. Glory to God. And it's exciting because heaven's going to be far greater than earth. God has His hand upon us. Amen. No matter what we accomplish on earth, it's not going to, you know, we're not storing up treasures on earth. We're storing up treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what we want to do, because that's where we're going to live the longest. Not in there, but we're going to come back with Him and rule and reign, but we're going to have you know, all of our rewards. Hallelujah. So if you're here and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, just raise your hand. All that is you're saying, God, I'm here. I love you. I see that hand. Amen. Anybody else? Glory to God. Amen. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, and it's okay because God loves you. He cares for you. Father, thank you for these two, and thank you, Father, for the multitudes of those that are going to. Lord, we just thank you because your word declares that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we would believe in our heart, that we would be saved. Father, your word also declares that even after we're born again, or even after we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, that if we mess up, that we can confess our sins. Because, Father, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So let's all do this together. Those of you, and what you're doing is you're just reassuring your hearts, hallelujah, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die just for me. Thank you for raising him up just for me. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior right now. All my sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and accepting me. Hallelujah. Now, Father, once again, I just thank you and praise you for everybody that's here. Father, these battles of our mind, they're a continual battle every single day of our life. We have to renew our mind daily. We have to constantly remind ourselves of who you are, what we have in you, who we are in Christ. Father, all of your promises. Because the enemy is always trying daily to steal. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Thank you, Father, that the abundant life is far greater than the enemy's ability to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, thank you that the greater one lives on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon our lives. Lord, we thank you. We thank you and praise you. We're going to finish this year. If you tarry, we're going to finish and keep going strong in everything that you have for us. And Father, thank you. We're going to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, we honor you for that. We love you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. One more thing. Because the Spirit of God just said, you know, the enemy, and it's somebody here, for the enemy, thoughts are going to come. Thoughts are going to, you know, go. Here's the thing about it is you can't battle the devil with thoughts. You cannot outthink the devil. You say, well, I've been trying. The only way you can change your thinking and change your thoughts is by speaking. You got to say something. You got to get the word out and you got to say it out loud. You got to speak the word to change the thought that's in your mind. And you may have to say that thought, you may have to say that word 5,000 times. But who cares? You're speaking the word over your life. You're saying the word. That's fine. So I said, well, how long I have to do it? How about the rest of your life? How about doing it? Because it'll set you free. You're saying, but I'm having such a battle with my mind. And we all do at times, okay? This is a specific, the Lord said, no, you need to share that. You need to stop and do that. And the reason being is because you don't want to walk out and say, I wish I could do that. No, you can. If you're saved, you know, Jesus, you can. You can say, no, I don't have to think like that. No, I'm not. I'm going to find the scripture. I'm going to find the word of God, and I'm going to replace this, hallelujah, with another thought. I'm going to bring into captivity every thought. Hallelujah. And I'm going to speak words of life. So I said, well, I remember I had somebody say that about forgiveness. They said, I can't forgive. I said, well, yes, you can. You just got to take hold of the word of God. And said, you got to find a scripture that's going to help you. And they did. They found a scripture. And I said, that's the right scripture. Let's do it. And they said, yeah, but I've said that all day long. I said that for 10, 12 hours. I said, good, you're going to say it for 10, 12 hours tomorrow. And the good news is that it didn't take long. It took about a week. You can imagine. They were just, but it took a week for all of a sudden they said, you know what? That scripture is alive to me. It's alive to me. And the scripture was Romans 5:5. It says, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So I have the capacity to forgive. So I forgive so-and-so. Amen. And it got them free. It got them free. And listen, one word from God, one scripture, one word from God, even if it's a part of a scripture, has more power than all the power of the enemy. It'll set you free. It'll set you free. Amen. Let's all stand up. Prayer team, get ready to come forward. Pray for folks there. I love you. God loves you. Be blessed. You're dismissed.